of God's word from which our message is based is in 1 Samuel chapter 15, continuing in this series of studies through the book of 1 Samuel. So it is 1 Samuel chapter 15. Thank you all for praying, remembering the work in Sri Lanka. The article I've written will come out next week, so watch out for it, so that you may know what is happening in that great country called the Pearl of the Indian Ocean. The shape of the island looks like a pearl, and it is indeed a pearl of an island in the Indian Ocean. 50 years ago, when I stopped there first time, it was more advanced than Singapore. Beautiful. Today, while we have progressed, 50 years on, they have regressed. Very sad, because of civil war. Thankfully, our work in south of Sri Lanka, formerly called Ceylon, that work is in Colombo, and at the moment still free from much of an unrest, although a couple of bombs have gone off. But to the Sri Lankans, oh, it's just another day. Nothing much. Amazing. So pray for them. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I shall read the first 11 verses as an introduction to the episode in the life of King Saul. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you to be king. Now, therefore, listen to the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel." I just want to pause here and explain to you who Amalek was. He is descended from Esau, of the grandson, and he gave rise to a whole tribe and people called Amalekites. And they became prominent when Israel was returning or going from Egypt to the promised land. At the place of Rephidim, they came out in numbers as an enemy of Israel and waited for them to pass until those who were at the end of the great army of people who were old, weary, and worn, and faint, and weak. Then they attacked them and did great damage to God's people. You remember how Moses sent Joshua. He said, "Joshua, fight the Amalekites, enemies of God, idolaters, out to destroy our people. Go and fight." And while Joshua fought, Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up the mountain. Remember that incident? And there Moses prayed. And whenever his arms were tired, went down, and the prayers were weakened, then Amalek began to have the upper hand. And so Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses, and Moses prayed. And God gave Joshua a great victory over Amalekites, evil men. And God said this: "These people who have outstandingly opposed my people with evil intent, they shall be blotted out of the memory." And that took years later. Now, that sentence of God is to be executed. That is the background. All right, now you know who the Amalekites. Verse 3. This is the command of God to who? The king. King Saul. You have been made the king, anointed. Now, this is your assignment. God says to you, verse 3, follow carefully. It's very important you understand what is happening. God Almighty is sending the executioner to carry out a sentence passed on Amalekites. Verse 3, now go and smite or strike Amalek. And follow carefully, please. Utterly destroy all that they have. Spare not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. You see, that is awful. Why should God do such a cruel thing? My dearly beloved, God is a God holy and just in all his works, and he does nothing that is ever unjust. These are the people who are marked out for destruction. God could easily have sent them fire from heaven, brimstone, as upon Sodom and Gomorrah, quite easily. In this case, it is by the hand of Saul. It is a test. Saul, you have been anointed king. King meaning you are head of the nation in a political way. You will call together the people and by means of physical weapon and force carry out the sentence for me. This sentence comes from God, and King Saul is only an instrument. It's not his business to do, except God says, you do it. All right. It's not his idea. It's not his will. But when God gives a command, we all receive it as instruments to do his good will. And the instruction here is very clear. Destroy all, everything, no exception, because God has said it in Deuteronomy. I will wipe off, blot out the memory of these evil, wicked, idolatrous people. You just do it. This is what I want to be done. Verse 4. And Saul gathered up the people, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek. Verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. It was a great victory, a rout of the Amalekites. Verse 8, but here comes a little problem. Saul took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people, verse 9, spared Agag and the best of the sheep and oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Amen. Are you shocked? Here is a man who is told to do a job, and he has a selective obedience. All the rubbish kill, all the good ones lay aside, plus the king. Dear friends, when God gives us a commandment, it is to be obeyed exactly as given. Selective obedience is
disobedience.
Partial obedience is disobedience. When we are sent to do a work, that work is exactly according as commanded by God. We have no selective option. There is none. If God says so, it is so. Thus saith the Lord. In Saul's case, he began to reason out. After all, I'm king, right? King is king. My word is the last say. True? False. His word is not the last say. He may think he has the last say among his army by telling them what to do. If he tells them exactly what God told them, he has the last say because it is God's say. But if he changes the command, then he has not the last say. He changed the command. What did the people do? The king told us. Catch the chief of the Amalekites, Agag. Don't kill him. I'm going to negotiate with him something. And all those that are well, good-looking, healthy and strong and fat, keep. The rest kill. Verse 10. This obedience came to Samuel, the word of the Lord. Verse 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. God spoke to Samuel, and here is Samuel the man revealed. My dear friends, are you concerned when God's will is violated? This is the concern of the prophet. While God speaks to him, and he speaks to Saul, and Saul does not carry out the command, he, as God's servant, is concerned. So rightly concerned. We ought to, all of us too, should be concerned. But we must know what is God's command. What is God's will? And when it is violated, let us be concerned. If there is a breaking of God's commandments, if there is a forsaking of the truth of God in this church, we all who know the truth must be concerned. Samuel was such a faithful servant. We all ought to be. Let us learn a story, a lesson from Samuel. We all know how he began to serve the Lord, even as a child. How God went to him at night and called him three times. And from that day, he remained faithful. Are we? Are we faithful? God speaks to you through the word. Samuel was faithful. And when God's word came to him, he said, Samuel, this man Saul has not done what he ought to have done. And I'm going to remove him. How sad a piece of news. It didn't really affect his own future. Samuel doesn't. But it affects the whole country. How the king has disobeyed God. And that affects Samuel, who had been the faithful prophet all the years, until the people rejected him and rejected God and said, we want a king. And that's how the king came to pass. Now that king made a good start. I want to say this, dear friends. Most of us made a good start, didn't we? A good start is good, but a good start must end with a good ending, which is much more important, that we end well with the Lord, serve him to the very end, Some did not start well. Doesn't matter. God help you. Have mercy on you. But we all today resolve we will go with the Lord until the very end. We want to end well with the Lord. That when we see Him, there will be no regrets. For the King Saul, what a sadness. This was the second big test. The first one was when Samuel says, don't you sacrifice until I come. 7 days. On the seventh day, he says, well, Samuel is late. Was Samuel late? No. Samuel says 7 days. Today is the seventh day, of course. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, nothing happened. No signs of Samuel. Day 7 is 24 hours, you know. Well, let's say it's 12 hours. In his heart, King Saul was itching to take over the function of the prophet. So before the day was ended, King Saul began to sacrifice in the place of Samuel. He thought he was as good as Samuel. This is the problem. And God says, Saul is finished. He has proved to be a disobedient servant. I say, dear friends, I have this golden text for today. Now you all can see it. Let's all say it together. Together with me, please. 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Again, please. 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God does not need sacrifice. Sacrifice is only to atone for our sins, as I've explained very clearly at the Lord's table. No amount of sacrifice can please God without obedience. What God wants is simply do what I say, for that is the way to acceptance with God. No other way. Even as a father tells a three-year-old child, do this, don't do that. And all the child has to do is do what father says. Now God says, go and do. And he does it halfway and violates the commandments. And then he comes and tells Samuel, God bless you, Samuel. I've done the great job for you. We're going to read that in a moment. Then the word of God comes to him, King Saul. And I say, it comes to all of us today. That we may learn a lesson, for to learn the lesson from other people's mistake is much less painful than you learning a lesson from your own mistake. So here it is. Free of charge. You can learn it today. What does it say? We say together again. 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For God has no need of any sacrifice at all. No, it doesn't fulfill the need of God. God needs nothing from us. Only thing is, my son, give me your heart. The heart that is the seat of your will, your desire, your obedience is all there in the heart. My son, give me your heart. And to King Saul, Saul, you failed this time. Miserably failed. God says, go and do, and you did not. And you say, I have offered all the animals. What for? To obey is better than sacrifice. This is an inviolable law from the beginning until now. No change, dear friends. What did our Lord Jesus say? John 14:15. Remember this as well. Let's say it together. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Very easy.
Say it again, please. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. No, there is nothing difficult about God's commandments. You know that? Some people have a strange idea. Oh, the Ten Commandments are so difficult to keep. They are just to make us miserable. Who says that? The devil. The devil puts in a heart. Say, the commandments are so difficult, makes us so miserable. We can't enjoy all the things we want to enjoy. But please understand, God has a wonderful will. And He gives it to all of us. Simply do it. Then you will have safety, peace, blessing, and all that you ever wanted. The peace that passeth all understanding. Samuel was grieved. Verse 11. It grieved Samuel, the last part of verse 11. Please, I want you to make note of this. He cried to the Lord all night while the rest of the people were sleeping in their beds. The prophet Samuel was weeping because here is the anointed king, the one chosen to lead the country, the nation, and he, the top man, has sinned and violated God's command and fallen. How sad for the nation, like king, like people. If king has fallen, the people share in that disgrace and in that setback. Do you know that? So Samuel cried, wept the whole night. He could not sleep because Israel's glory is tarnished, is finished. The king has fallen. Verse 12. Verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul. And we must note here, Saul was a good pretender. Whatever we do, dear friends, don't imitate Saul. Pretend what you're not. Let's see what he does. Saul said to Samuel, "Blessed be thou of the Lord," verse 13. "I have performed the command of the Lord, right or wrong." Oh, my friends, a half performance is no performance. I've said just now many times, partial obedience is disobedience. But to him, I'm king. I can do what I like. So he's disobeyed God, but he says, "I have done all that God told me to do." Verse 14. Samuel, of course, knows only too well, for God had spoken to him. Samuel said, "What then is the meaning of the bleating of the sheep, lowing of the oxen? I hear them. Who are these? What are they?" Verse 15, and Saul said, "They have brought them." They, well, my friends, do you know the meaning of the saying, passing the buck? Know that? He is the king. And of course, the killing and the actual execution is by the people. And so he blames it on the people. The people have done this. This is what he says. They have brought them. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice. Firstly is passing the buck. Number two is cover up or telling a lie. Why did he save the best of the oxen and the sheep and so on and so forth? Why? 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 Because they look good. And therefore he had an iron on them. If they're so good, don't destroy them. Let's keep them. And then eventually we may sacrifice some for offering to God. But basically it is covetousness. Please understand. Here is a disobedient king, greedy, covetous, pretender, cover up. Verse 16. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stay, listen, I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And Saul says, say on, go ahead. Verse 17, Samuel said, when thou wast little, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Yes, true. Never forget our beginnings and how God has blessed us all. We all have received so much from the Lord. You were not what you are today, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We all have progressed, prospered, been blessed. But let not those things go to your head as it went to the head of King Saul. When he was nothing, a nobody, God came to him and said, Samuel, this is the man. All right. He is tall, good looking, and he will lead the people, anoint him, make him the king. From nothing, he became king. Now it goes to his head and he ignores what God tells him to do. Let us never, never fall into this trap. Today, you are a great magnet. Maybe no magnets here. And you are a great company director or whatever you are. Don't let that go to the head. For before God, we are nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. And so when we deal as God's servants, be very humble. This is what Samuel is saying to Saul. Look, Saul, you are nothing. And today you think you are king, and therefore you have all power in your head. No, you don't. You are here simply because God allows you to be here. The same applies to all of us. We are what we are only simply because God has allowed us to be here. Verse 18. The Lord has sent thee on a mission and said, go utterly destroy the sinners, Amalekites. Fight against them until they are all consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? Verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, here again, here is cover-up, denial of one's faults and error. Saul said, I have obeyed. Did he obey? No. But he says, yes. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, have brought Agag, king of Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Verse 21, but the people, not me. My friends, to sin is one thing, and there is always salvation for a sinner who recognizes his sin and calls for mercy to the Lord. There is mercy. But when a sinner says, I'm quite all right, God, I'm quite all right. Anything wrong is not me, it's those people there, those other people, not me. For such a sinner, there is no forgiveness, no way out, no hope. To be a sinner, we all are. But there is hope to every sinner who recognizes my wretched condition. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. I have failed you. I have disobeyed your word. I have done that which I should not have done. It's me, I've sinned. Not the people all the time. So herein is the fault of Saul. A very sad person who began quite well and ended up with a suicide in battle. And before that, to go to the witch and medium which he had formerly destroyed. He knew it was evil. And he destroyed them. Now in his hour of desperation, he went to a witch. How sad it is. One who chooses to go against the way of the Lord does not end well, dear friends. I said just now, all of us in Jesus Christ our Lord, please follow Him to the end and end well. End well. You may not have started well, but we all must learn to end well. How can we end well? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Not because you've come to church and sacrificed your time, your money, your talents, and serve the Lord. Those things are only repaying your gospel debt. They earn you nothing in the final reckoning before God. God will judge. Let us all end well before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may perform to gold, silver, precious stones as our works, that God will accept end well. Do not learn from this man. Verse 22, as we conclude. Samuel said, Saul, listen. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You think you're keeping all these fatted calves and oxen one day to sacrifice to God and will you please God? Not at all. God is not pleased with those things, but God is pleased when you say, yes, Lord, I will do what you tell me to do. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you, says the Lord Jesus. You will love me. You see, the basis of obedience is love. God so loved the world, and His Son loved the Father. Jesus Christ in Gethsemane says, Father, if possible, take away this cup. I don't want it. But your will. Because I have come to do your will. I'm a son, you are the father, I love you, I will do your will. Yes, obedience, better than sacrifice. Are we obeying God every day? Learn from this sad example of Saul. All right, we continue in verse 22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For, note carefully, verse 23, in conclusion, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And indeed, Saul went to witches because he rebelled. And therefore, after rebelling, the evil spirit in him led him to the witch. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Where does the idolatry come from? Stubbornness is, I want my way. My God is not the Lord up there. My God is myself. I worship myself. Stubborn. It is idolatry of self. Worshipping the great ego inside you. What I think I will do, I will do. Why? Because I am I. I, me, myself, makes all the difference to everything else. I decide. This is idolatry. Before God, we are nothing. Acknowledge Him, obey Him for safety, for peace, for blessing. It is God's inviolable law. No other way. So, verse 23, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also rejects thee from being king. Finish. The career of Saul is finished. No more. No more use for God. He goes into battle without God's blessing, he is killed. Finished. How about us? The way ahead is plain. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Let us all learn to love the Lord with all our heart and soul, mind and strength. Love Him. For if you love Him, you will do His commandments. Why do you come today? Because you love Him. Why do you do what He tells you to do? Because you love Him. So Jesus says, if you love me, do my commandments. And you do my commandments because you love me. How do we love Him? Do you love Him? God help us. Let us pray. our Lord and our God, may this lesson of King Saul be a lesson for all of us, that we who name the name of Christ as Christians will learn the lesson well, once and for all, that we will resolve, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.